This morning lesson would be spiritually spiritually blind. It would be coming from John, the 9th chapter, the 39th to the 41 verse, and it reads, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come unto this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." God add a blessing to the believers and the doers of his word.
Be holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God over all and bless eternally. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. All thy work shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God, over all and bless eternally.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. With what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? You may be seated. What a wonderful and pleasant morning it is. A lot of humidity, a lot of dew, fog, but God is good. He gives us what we need, takes care of the earth and the land as well. Good morning. And whether you're visiting or a member of this Franklin family or virtual guests visiting us this morning, I'm grateful that you're here today. I'm grateful that God has brought us together for another opportunity for worship, praise and fellowship among those that will be the saints of God. Shortly, I woke my Bible to Matthew chapter 13, and also like you to Mark chapter 8 as well. We're going to look at these verses today, a short time, for the context of this lesson, which is entitled Spiritually Blind. Spiritually Blind. That's Matthew chapter 13 and also Mark chapter 8 for the context of the lesson entitled Spiritually Blind. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through 16, The Bible reads as such. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, what I want to do is read a story from the life of Jesus as well, a story that bears directly on what has been said in Mark and Matthew chapter 13. We want to turn to Mark chapter 8 for that, and beginning in verse number 22. Mark chapter 8, verse 22, beginning. And the Bible says, then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him, and he begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and he said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. I want you to understand that nothing in Scripture is there by accident. Nothing in Scripture is irrelevant at all. And this account that we see of this blind man is here for a particular reason. Now, just the very fact that we have this story preserved in Scripture's testimony of the fact that there is some greater issue at play here in this context. For instance, in John chapter 9, there was a blind man whom Jesus directed to the pool of Siloam after putting mud on his eyes. So he went and washed himself in the pool, and he received his sight. In Luke 18 is a man by the name of Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, in the town of Jericho. And he cries out, Son of God, have mercy on me. And Jesus heals him instantly of his blindness. But the explanation of this event is tied directly to what comes before it. There's a background to all of these things that Jesus is going to teach us today, as well as what he taught the disciples. The background you need to see starts in Mark chapter 8 and verse number 13. So let's go a little higher in Mark chapter 8, and let's start reading in verse number 13 for the background of this narrative. The Bible says, Mark chapter 8, verse 13, and he left them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. But Jesus, beware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said to him, 12. Also, when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. So he said to them, how is it that you do not understand? This narrative serves as a backdrop for what's going on with the blind man that the disciples encounter here in this particular chapter. But what Jesus is doing is giving the disciples and us a vivid and eye-opening picture of ourselves. He's given us a chance to take a look at who we are and what it is that we think we see. The application is, unfortunately, that we sometimes, like the disciples and the blind man, we just don't see as clearly as we should. We just don't see as clearly as we ought to. Sometimes we see and we don't see. And sometimes we see very clearly. So Jesus used this blind man in this village as an object lesson about spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness. Isaiah spoke, and this is what he said. He says, seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear. Seeing they do not see, which was spoken of two individuals in this narrative. It was true to the disciples, they saw and didn't see. They had seen the light about Jesus to a certain degree, and that a lot about Jesus was not very clear to them as yet. They had heard him teach. They saw the miracles. They believed he was the Christ, but they didn't clearly visualize the spiritual things of God as yet. They still had a mind that he was a conqueror. They still had in mind a liberator from Roman oppression and the idea that the Messiah would be rejected by his own people. Preposterous, especially the Hebrews. That was unthinkable to them. And so they saw a lot about Jesus, but it wasn't crystal clear as to what they saw yet. The blind man, in the same way, Jesus asked him, "What do you see?" "I see men as trees walking." And what an odd situation that is. They can't say that they are blind, the disciples, neither the blind man. They can't say that they are blind because in reality, they can see just a little bit. But they also can't claim to see because their sight is blurred. And so both of them, the disciples and the blind man, need a little help from Jesus to see things better. The disciples and the blind man, you and me, we all need a little help from Jesus to be able to see things just a little bit better. And if you live long enough, chances are you get a cataract or two. And those who have, if you talk to them, they speak of how much better they can see when that cataract is taken away. And some will tell you that they had to do it twice. They had to have the surgery twice. They had to get a second touch so they can see clearly, because it's not that the first one didn't work. Just they need a second surgery to be able to see a little more clearly. The disciples and the blind man in this case were in the situation of seeing, but not seeing clearly. They needed a second touch. They needed help from Jesus. Sometimes we do that as well. For example, how many times have you talked to someone about an aspect of the gospel and they really didn't want to hear it? So the way to justify it or to brush you off is by saying, "You know, I just can't see that. I'm sorry, but I just can't see what you're talking about. I just can't see that in the gospel." How about people in bad marriage situations as they confront Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 9? They always confront it the same way. And regardless of any created hypothetical situations that they bring up, everything must be filtered through what Jesus said in that passage in Matthew 19. No matter what you say or what you do, no matter how long you've been married or how long you think about being divorced, everything has to be filtered through what Jesus said in Matthew 19:9. And people are still going to say, they're going to look at married people who don't want to be together anymore. They're going to look at that passage, and you know what they're going to say? "I just can't see that. I know what it says, and I've read it over and over again, but I can't see it." How about the issue of instrumental worship? And they say, "I understand where you're coming from, and I've read all the scriptures, but I can't see that either. I can't see the reason why we can't have that in our worship service." How about the need to worship God with some faith and fidelity? How about the need to see that? And what people say all the time, I go to work all week with my mask on. Here we go, let's pick a little bit. I go to work all week long with my mask on, but to wear it for 1 hour to sit and worship for God. You know, God knows our hearts. And some people need excuses. Well, they make excuses for everything. They don't need them. But some people make excuses for everything. They go to work all week long with their mask on, and they wash their hands and sanitize all week long, but they can't come and sit. Reminds me of the garden, right? Will you just watch for 1 hour while I go and pray? Some people don't have that hour to give to God, mask or not, because their hearts are not there. It's not there. They say, "I understand where you're coming from, but I just can't see that as important right now in my life. Instead of me coming and wearing the mask, I'm going to send my wife or my family. I'm going to stay home because I could stay home, because that's my excuse. That's my crutch now. The COVID virus has wrecked our minds and spiritually blinded us to the things that we need to see. Some of us just can't see clearly because we can't see past the healing power of God. This COVID is nothing for God. It's nothing for him. And I'm not telling you to just cast everything to the wind, but I'm telling you that God knows your heart and he knows whether you make an excuse not to meet with the saints. Amen. Go to work all week long, 2-3 masks on, and bought some new ones because you want to be a slave to fashion, have your name written on your mask, but you can't come 1 hour. Let's move on. How about the need to worship God with faith and fidelity is what I'm asking you. And why can't you see that? You know, sometimes the issue may very well be that I just won't see that. I'm not going to see that. I'm just saying that we never want to be the person who seems to have just enough faith and enough knowledge about Christianity and just enough knowledge about heaven and hell to spoil our daily walk with God. We have just enough knowledge and just enough faith about Christianity to put a stumbling block in the way of other believers as well. We do not want to be the one with not enough knowledge and not enough commitment to see clearly what God has called us to be as a Christian. Some people think they got all the answers. They can see it all. Their pride. Their pride is just too much when they ought to be humble. And some people don't think they can see anything at all. And in their pride, they ought to be humble as well. We need to know what God has called us to be as a Christian. What a miserable situation to be in, have spiritual blindness, saying that I just can't see that. Maybe you just don't want to see that. I would think that we would want to see more clearly than that. I would think that we all would want to do a little bit better. The problem is, Isaiah said, sometimes it's true. Their eyes, they have closed. And we certainly don't want to be guilty of that. And yet what Isaiah said and what Jesus quoted is in fact true. Sometimes people just close their eyes. They don't want to see. They don't want you to see it either. So how would you get yourself in that spiritual state? How would a person get in that state spiritually? One is, if you have preconceived ideas, if you have preconceived notions, if you've already made up your mind about God, if you're biased and prejudiced in some way, your spiritual vision becomes cloudy. You live in a spiritual gray area, and you live in that area by choice. And that gray area can ultimately become a pretty comfortable place for a lot of people because they're doing what they want to do, hearing what they want to hear, and seeing what they want to see. And they get comfortable in that particular situation. It may be that they've made up their minds about most matters or become skeptical. And they say words like, I just don't think we can ever make up our minds about that. We just don't know enough about what God is saying with that. And so I'm never going to come down because some things are so challenging that we may not ever understand it about God. Here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that we just right full of excuses. Let's go back to the Old Testament and see how Moses describes a revelation of God. And that revelation is spot on to what we're saying today. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let's see what Moses has to say about this revelation from God. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 11 beginning. This is what he says. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It's not too mysterious. It is not in heaven that you ought to say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it down to us, that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near to you. Listen to this revelation. The word of God is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart that you might do it. But you don't want to do it because you don't want to hear it and you don't want to see it. You are spiritually blind. Now, of course, I agree that there are aspects of the scripture that are hard to understand. But most of the revelation of God that has been given to us is not beyond the scope of our understanding. We are all people that are educated. We can read and we can write. We can think and we can understand. We have the capacity to do that, to draw logical conclusions and make valid applications. We can do that. But with preconceived ideas and notions, if we've decided beforehand that we're not going to know it, that we're not going to do it, then we're not going to make up our mind. And the approach to Scripture will forever cloud our vision and perpetuate our spiritual blindness. People take Scripture and they do what they want to do with it. They read Scripture and it reads what they want to be read in their own hearts and minds, not what God said. It's what I want to get out of Scripture. It's what I want to see, what I want to do. So I'm going to take the Scripture, and I'm going to construct it the way I think it ought to be for my life. That's spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness. 2 Peter 1:9 says this. Talks about some spiritual things in our lives. He goes on, he says to the Jews of dispersion in 2 Peter 1:9, for he who likes these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he has cleansed, that he was cleansed from his old sins. You know, in the context, Peter speaks about adding spiritual things to your faith. And if we do not, then we are subject to forget about the mess that we are in. We are in a hot mess right now when it comes to sin. And I'm sure none of us want to forget about being cleansed. And we don't want to forget about what God's grace has done for all of us. He says, when we were dead in our sins and trespasses, it was God who reached out for us. No, we don't want that to be us at all. We don't want to be spiritually short-sighted. We do not want to be spiritually blind. We don't want to be that one. Thirdly, here's what I want to say. We can close our eyes sometimes because of our human weaknesses. And we make an excuse, you know, I'm only human, so I just can't help myself. Sometimes our faith isn't as strong as it ought to be. Sometimes our faith isn't as strong as we want it to be. And there's nothing sinister in that. We simply haven't matured to that point yet. We've got to grow. But the problem comes when we've been Christians for a number of years, 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years, and hadn't made any progress at all, just sitting on the premises and never standing on the promises of God. 10 years been a Christian, still the same place. 20 years been a Christian, still the same. 30 years been a Christian, and you're still spiritually blind, can't see the things of God because you are in the way, your own stumbling block. You know, there ought to be something that's innate in every Christian that says, I always want to do better than I did the day before. There ought to be something innate in a Christian that says, I want to know God better today than I did yesterday. There ought to be something innate in a Christian that says, I want to go to heaven. I want to see God. In Luke chapter 17, when Jesus finished teaching about forgiveness, the disciple says, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. It was saying, Lord, you know, that's going to be hard, this forgiveness thing, so we need help. Increase our faith so that we can do that. And this ought to be our attitude as well, especially when things are tough. Lord, increase our faith. When teachings are tough in the Bible and we simply can't understand, Lord, increase our faith. When it's difficult for us to apply God's principles in our lives, Lord, increase our faith. We ask God for help in that matter. Increase our faith, Lord. Help us to see and help us to see clearly. Help us to see clearly. In Mark 9, a man came to Jesus and he had a request to heal his demon-possessed son. He said, I brought him to the apostles and they weren't able to help at all. And then the man said this. I want you to listen to what the man said. Mark 9, verse 22. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. Listen to what he says to Jesus. But if you can do anything. What? But if you can do anything, Have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said, if I could do anything, the problem is not me doing anything. The problem is if you can believe. That's the problem. And if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can just see it through the eyes of faith, if you're not spiritually blind, you'd be able to believe and you know that I can do it, not if I can do it. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my, amen. Help my unbelief, Lord, help my spiritual blindness because I believe and I want to have faith, but my son has been sick for so long and I haven't had anybody to help him. If you can do anything, Lord, that's our problem. We're doubting God because we got ourselves in the way. We can't see God because everything that matters to us is in the way. Everything. Our lives, our jobs, our money, our cars, our houses, our children. Keep on going. We putting things in the way. We can't see God. We being blinded by those things. So Lord, just help me in my unbelief. Help me to see clearly. Help me to not be spiritually blind, Lord. Seeing, but not seeing. That's where most of us are, isn't it? That's where we are. We are believers, and today we are assembled because we are believers. We here today in the presence of God because we are believers. But we should never get to the point in our faith where we think we understand everything and got it all down. Never get to a point in our faith where we understand everything and nobody else does but me. Never get to a point in our faith where nobody else is qualified to know but me. Never get to a point in our faith where nobody prays or studies more than me. Listen, we are not good at being judges at all. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why behold thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but doesn't consider the beam that is in your own eye? We are not good at being judges, because there is still room for all of us to make some progress. There's still some room to free my own soul from the spiritual blindness that is just encompassing my whole life. That's squeezing the life out of my soul. I'm so blind I can't even see that the Satan is squeezing the life out of my soul. We're not good at being judges. We got to free our own soul. How do you do that, Brother Collins? First, cast out the beam out of your own eye. Amen? And then you'll be able to see clearly to cast the mote out of your brother's eye. Get your own eyes clean first. Don't wake up in the morning and get out of bed and come in front of me with all that crust in your eye. Because you just can't see clearly. There are too many people who think that they're just a Christian of Christians and whatever they say goes. Doesn't matter what you say, and whatever they pray goes. Doesn't matter what you pray. And whatever they sing goes, doesn't matter what you sing. And whatever they give goes, doesn't matter what you give. That spiritual blindness from that standpoint, you're standing in your own way and in the way of your brother. Get that mote out of your own eye first. Then come to me. Come to me. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. I've got a plank in mind too. Amen? Isaiah said this. He said, blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed eyes, they see what God wants them to see. And it takes two things to do that. And the first one is absolute honesty. Listen to me. You ought to be tired of lying to yourself about what you see. You ought to be tired of that. Absolute honesty is the first thing. How are we going to get there without acknowledging the plank in our own eye? You're not going to get there. You can't ignore it. You can't be afraid to go to somebody who can help you with that and say, I need some help. I need help. You can't ignore it. You got to come clean and confess that there's a problem here. There's a problem, and sin is the problem. You're spiritually blind. I need help because I'm groping in the darkness looking for the God that I think I'm serving. God is not in darkness. Light doesn't dwell in darkness. You need help. Psalm 15, verses 1 through 2 says these words. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. That's who can dwell in the tabernacle. A person who speaks truth in his heart, who comes clean and knows that he's blind. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless you are just disqualified and spiritually blind. Don't you know that? We have to be honest. We have to see ourselves as we are. But too many of us claim to see when we simply don't see at all. You know, I had LASIK surgery. And I got to tell you, when I used to stand up in this pulpit before I had LASIK surgery, I couldn't see that clock. I'm telling you, I could see the minute hand and every number on that clock right now. Why? Because I knew I needed help to see. And you go in and you get the examination before they do the surgery on you, and they put this massive machine in front of you with all these little silver circles on it. And they say, which one is better, A or B? Which one is clearer, A or B? And they go through the whole test with you. And it makes no sense whatsoever to lie to that examiner. If you want to see better, you'll have to come clean. You'll have to be honest about what you see if you want Christ. If you want Christ to help you see better in your life, you got to come clean with yourself. You got to stop lying to yourself. You got to be honest about what you see. But you know what? It's hard sometimes to see ourselves as we are. But I can't build my faith thinking that everybody else needs to improve and I don't. I can't build my faith that way. That seeing and not seeing, that seeing men as trees walking, that is spiritual blindness. I can't be the one that sees everything and nobody else can. Amen. There's husbands and marriages like that. They see it all and the wife can't see anything. They see it all and the children can't see anything. There's mothers that treat daughters like that. They see everything, and it doesn't matter how old a daughter is, she can be 66. She still can't see it. And the mother, when she was 66, she saw it. Amen? But because you my child and I'm your mother, you're blind to this and I'm the only one can see. Get out of here. With that foolishness. We respect you as parents, we respect you as people, but you've got to understand that we have the capability of growing as well. Our growth isn't stunted just because you don't want us to see it or think we can't see it. You know what I'm talking about. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Spiritual vision is a gradual process. And it's a process that makes room for progress. And the understanding in that is gradual. Just like the object lesson Jesus was trying to teach his disciples. This is what he said in Mark 8. He said this. He said, you saw me multiply food, but you're arguing about bread? He said, your faith is like this. And he touches the blind man so he can see a little bit. But all he sees is men as trees. So he touches them again for clearer vision. We need to understand that growth and development is going to be a process. It takes time to discern right from wrong. It takes time to see deception. It takes time to see even self-deception. But you gotta want to see it. You can't cover your eyes to your own self-deception because you never ever see God. It takes time to see things clearly. It takes time to be steadfast, 1 Corinthians 15:58. And steadfast in that particular context means just to sit down for a while and just be still. Just sit down so you can understand it. Just sit down. It takes a little maturity to listen to what God has to say. Not arguing with him. Not fussing with him. Not trying to rationalize it all away. But just to say from time to time, speak, Lord, your servant hears. Command me, Lord, and your servant obeys. Sometimes we got to sit down in a corner somewhere and allow God to speak to us that we might hear and see the things that he is calling us to do. Well, maybe all of us from time to time need a second touch. I see Peter recovering from his spiritual blindness that led him to deny the Lord three times. Spiritually blind. I don't know that man. How many times we hear that in our lives with our mouths? I don't know the Christ. I see the disciples recovering from abandoning Jesus at his arrest. The Bible says they all forsook him and fled. But Jesus, he went to the Sea of Galilee and he made a fire and started cooking them breakfast. And in essence, he's speaking to them at that breakfast and he's giving them a second touch. Sometimes you and me, sometimes we need a second touch as well. Because most of us are in the situation described by Paul in Ephesians 5:8. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. All of us were that way. Walk as children of light. Walk like there's light in your life. Not like darkness. Don't walk like you're spiritually blind, just shuffling and turning all around, looking to where you need to go. Christ is the light of our lives. And if you are spiritually blind, you will never, ever see the light of life. You just won't see it. Walk as children of light. Well, I understand a lot of things going on in our lives. I understand that. Maybe you found yourself around other Christians who tried to motivate you with fear and guilt. You ever met a Christian like that? Oh, they're holy and righteous and they try to get you with guilt, never with God's grace. They're spiritually blind. Maybe you found yourself around other Christians who constantly beat you down by always making you out to be the irresponsible Christian and a sinner before God, not them. They're spiritually blind. I want you to know that Jesus does smile, and he smiles on each and every one of us. He doesn't have a perpetual scowl as some who claim to be his children do. Why as Christians do some people walk around always looking like they're unhappy, like there's a scowl on their face, like they just can't smile from time to time? What's up with that? I'm going to tell you what's up with that. They're spiritually blind, and they can't see the God that we serve always smiles on us. And if we're going to mimic God, we got to smile sometimes too. I want you to know that Jesus offers mercy when other people just won't offer you any. Amen? I'm talking about Christians not offering other Christians mercy. I'm not talking about outside. I'm talking about inside of the body of Christ. Spiritual blindness is not just a state that sinners find themselves in. It's also a state that many a Christian has taken residence in. Oh yeah, we find ourselves in a state of spiritual blindness more than we know. And that's why this lesson is relevant today, because we need to understand that we can't sit and deceive ourselves every day of our lives thinking we're walking with God and we're so far from the light we can't even tell. We can't deceive ourselves in thinking that because we don't want to see, we've got to cover up our eyes so we can't see it. We've got to come clean with ourselves and clean with God if we want to get rid of our spiritual blindness. Got to come clean. Isaiah, wonderful prophet of God, Isaiah has well said, seeing but not seeing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn. Why? So that I should heal them of their spiritual blindness. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. They see. I want you to understand that this is a two-way street here. In Acts chapter 9, Paul was blind, and he helped to see. He was blinded on the road to Damascus, wasn't he? So God sent Ananias, a devout man. But Ananias was blind too because he didn't see God's vision initially. He didn't see it. Sometimes we as Christians, we're just like that. We only see what is obviously in the front of us only. He said, you know what, Lord, this is a dangerous man right here. He's been killing us and you want me to go to him? He couldn't see what God was trying to do. I'm trying to tell you, follow God's commands. You're not going to see everything that God wants us to do, but know that he's leading you in the right direction. Just go. It's about having faith, not being blind in the sight of God. You've got to be willing to go, and you're going to see down the road. You're going to see, as our old ancestors said, you'll see by and by. You're going to see it. But you got to be willing to see. You got to have an open heart and an open mind to let God use you. Ananias was blind and Paul was blind too. I need you to see that. We need Jesus to help us see clearly so we can be an instrument for God and help others get rid of their spiritual blindness. Let me tell you something. You cannot set anybody else free unless you free yourself. Amen? You got to be free. You've got to be free of spiritual blindness so you can help somebody else be free of it as well. I want you to know I'm addressing sinners today, but also those blind saints who are among God's people as well. Oh, we got some blind saints. Amen? We got some who don't think that they have not the first speck of dust in their eye. We're not talking about them planks. That's a whole nother story. I'm addressing the blind saints of God's people who can't see for looking. Amen. Can't see for looking. Those who have ears, the Bible says, let them hear. In John 6:45, it says, it's written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that had heard and learned of the Father comes unto me. We've got to believe and confess. In Mark 9, 23 through 24, the Bible says this. Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway the father confessed. He cried out and he said with tears in his eyes, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And we've got to repent of our sins. In Mark 1, 14 through 15, the Bible says, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And this is what he was saying. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Got to repent. We must be baptized. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 18. Here's the narrative. And immediately there fell from his eyes, from Paul's eyes, as it had been scales. And he received his sight forthwith. And he arose and was baptized. Let me tell you something. Jesus heals us immediately. If you don't want to deal with spiritual blindness, accept the Christ in your life and allow those scales to fall from your eyes immediately. You take them away. But you got to want that, and you've got to get out of the way as well and allow him to do it. There's too much self-deception, too much spiritual righteousness among ourselves. We holy rollers. We spiritually blind because we simply can't see for looking. We can't see the invitation of God right before our very eyes. In our hearts, in our mouths, is there for us that we might do it, the psalmist says. It's your time now. This is the invitation. It's time for you to do that which God has called you to do. you're a Christian and you simply have been subjected to spiritual blindness, now it's time to repent of those sins that you might walk in the light of love with God once again. If you're a Christian and you've been blind to God all your life, now it's time to come to God that he might help you to see what a miracle it is when God calls us. We find ourselves in the water grave of baptism, rising to the newness of life, our new creature in Christ. This is my hope and my prayer for you today. And those of us that are Christians might walk uprightly before God and see the things that God has called us to see. And those of you that are not Christians, you might get up and walk into the arms of God that he might heal you, that you might see him for who he is and live forever with him in eternity. If we can help you today to do that, why don't you come as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the lie. Poor sinner, harden not your heart. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Why not tonight? Will thou be saved? Will thou be saved? Then why not? Oh, why not tonight?
Good morning, church. Just for a moment, we're gonna stay in Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 27. Now Jesus and his disciples went out to the town of Caesarea Philippi. And on the road, he asked his disciples, saying to them, "Who do men say that I am?" So they answered, "John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said to him, "You are the Christ." Then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. We are not a part of our worship service, which is the Lord's Supper, in which we're instructed to come together on the first day of the week in remembrance of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I continue to read from Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 26. And the Bible reads, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Let us pray. Father God, we come to you at this time with bowed heads and humble hearts. Father God, just thankful for this opportunity to commune with you. Father God, we ask that you bless this bread that represents your Son's body. And we ask that you bless this cup that represents your Son's shed blood. Father God, we just pray and ask that everyone will do in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable in our sight. All these prayers we ask in your darling Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We also had a part of our service which is called collection, in which we're instructed to give just a portion of what the Lord has blessed us with. You have the opportunity before service or immediately after service to place your contributions in a box up front. I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6, and the Bible reads, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Let us pray. Father God, we come to you once again, Father God, just thanking you for this opportunity, Father God. Father God, we pray for those who gave, Father God, and we pray for those who had the desire to give, but not able to at this present time, Father God. We just pray that these funds be used for the upkeep and outreach of your ministries, Father God. We pray that you'll be with the men handling these funds, that the things they do and say will be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. All these prayers we ask in your darling son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.